Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, corn and soybean futures are not the only commodities Illinois producers keep an eye on. Yes, there's wheat and hogs and even cattle. But Lisa Brotz tells us about at least one other important commodity in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
In some houses, the phrase breakfast of champions means a bowl of cereal. In my house, or more accurately, in my office after I've staggered into work since I can't get it together most mornings to eat before I leave for the day, breakfast of champions often means chocolate. I know, it's so not good for me, but nothing beats the taste of good chocolate with a decent cup of coffee. And truth be told, if I'm eating commodities for breakfast, chocolate's the commodity I'm choosing. Yes, commodities. We hear about them all the time here in the Midwest, since we're a major home to two of the largest, most basic agricultural commodities grown on the planet, corn and soybeans. But really, the term applies to many other agricultural products, including grains like wheat and oats, which are also produced here, and food items that aren't, like sugar, coffee, rice, cacao. That's chocolate to you and me.
Yeah, cocoa is a soft commodity that's traded on mercantile exchanges. I believe it's the smallest exchange. Typically, cocoa is purchased by the shipping container in units of about 20 tons. And cocoa bean sources are kind of blended together so that you're not no longer buying, say, Ivory Coast cacao beans, but just general cocoa beans.
Daniel Schreiber of Flatlander Chocolate, whose production facility, or chocolate factory, is located in East Urbana, is what I would call a micro-producer. He produces food in very small batches for others to eat, and the food he happens to produce is chocolate. But don't call him a chocolatier, which is basically another word for candy maker, for someone who makes things out of chocolate. He doesn't make truffles or turtles or the kind of chocolates you get in a box. He makes the chocolate. The dark, mysterious, fantastic-smelling chocolate that these kinds of chocolates could be made from, and he sells his bars to outlets in Urbana-Champaign and a few other locations in central Illinois. Daniel makes chocolate by taking the process from the bean, the cacao bean, which closely resembles an almond, all the way to the bars he makes and sells, start to finish. This artisanal process, called, well, bean-to-bar, is what makes Flatlander chocolate unique. Flatlander is certainly the only small artisanal bean-to-bar chocolate maker in Illinois and is one of about 10 to 20 in the United States.
Cacao beans are grown on trees between 20 degrees north and south of the equator, primarily in Central and South America and in West Africa. The different countries that we get our beans from vary from Peru, Panama, Madagascar, Ivory Coast. And right now we're ordering the beans through a distributor, but we're working to establish what we call direct trade connections with farmer cooperatives, primarily in Central America.
Here's how artisanal chocolate making works. Daniel starts the process by first cleaning the beans, then roasting them in a convection oven, which gives him some control over the eventual flavor of the chocolate. After roasting, the beans' husks are cracked to get at the cacao inside, the little bits called nibs. Using a homebrewer's mill, a shout-out to his hobbyist days. Then they're put into a winnower to separate the husks from the nibs. Then the nibs and sugar go into the grinder, where the whole mix is ground or refined for 18 to 72 hours. The resulting liquid chocolate is heated and stirred, or conched, which is another method to control the flavor of the chocolate. In this case, it's acidity. Anyway, after all this, the chocolate still has to be tempered, or alternately heated and cooled, for specific periods of time. If extra stuff, called inclusions, is being added to the chocolate, like salt or caramel or orange peel or dried currants from a local farm, they go in after the chocolate has been poured into molds. Then the chocolate is shaken on a vibrating table to get the air bubbles out of the molds and to settle the inclusions. Later, after cooling, the bars are packaged by hand. I totally adore the packaging of these bars. Instead of foil, the bars are wrapped in unbleached wax paper and then again in colored paper with graphics provided by Daniel's friends for each different kind of bar. You can see the chocolate through the wax paper peeking out at the ends of the bar. It hasn't even been a year since Daniel started out making chocolate at home as a hobby. At first, it was kind of like how people get into the home brewing of beer or the making of wine or the roasting of coffee, things like that. He used equipment cobbled together DIY style to make chocolate for his friends and their friends. He was kind of a chocolate fairy godfather, going around Urbana-Champaign, bestowing his concoctions on the land. Soon enough, though, Daniel decided to press the pause button on his old gig, graduate school in computer science, and do chocolate full-time. Thanks to some fundraising and some benefactors, he's now in business in a former restaurant space in East Urbana. It's a changing neighborhood, and Daniel's hoping that his vision for the space, which goes well beyond making chocolate and into the realm of including community food and garden projects, will get people from the neighborhood and neighboring neighborhoods interested in what he's doing and maybe even directly involved in growing and preparing and eating all kinds of foods, not just chocolate.
I hope that this production facility, with the resources that it provides, especially easily certifiable kitchen space, can serve as a valuable resource for the community. And I hope that it becomes a locus for production of food, for people to pursue their hobbies related to food, to produce food for the farmers market or other venues, and just a valuable community space.
I would expect nothing less from a breakfast of champions.
Dan Schreiber unexpectedly died shortly after the original airing of this installment of In My Backyard. A fund in his honor has been established to carry out his dream of a community kitchen mentioned in the story. For more details, go to flatlanderfund.org on the World Wide Web. That's flatlanderfund.org.